welcome to another non-monetized episode of The Doghouse on NTN Radio.
Not award-winning non-monetized episode of The Doghouse here on NTNRadio.com.
That's right.
Wow. .com.
Wow. If you could just hear the conversations that take place off the air on this show.
I will say this. And
we'd probably make money off of that.
I believe it was. I do believe it's in the Bible, somewhere in the red words, that it says, meat is for men, bones are for dogs.
Okay.
The waitress today, where we had dinner, woo, yeah, that had some meat on it.
Oh, I didn't even really pay much attention at all.
I didn't really when she was standing there, but when she went over to the cashier just to where I was sitting, the sun was shining right on her booty. I was like, good Lord.
I do want to say, since we started out by making fun of ourselves, but I do want to say that I want to say thank you to all our Patreon supporters.
Yes.
And you know who you are.
And F the rest
we definitely
of you.
Create, certain people don't get credit. But I do want to make sure that we acknowledge them and tell everybody out there, I haven't mentioned it in a long time, that if you do want to support the show, please, because we are bleeding badly. And if you care to keep us alive and you stop the bleeding, we need a tourniquet.
A tourniquet made out of singles.
Go to Patreon.
Think of us as strippers. Give us a tourniquet
please,
of singles.
You don't do that. Please don't. Do not think of us as strippers.
That's right.
Because we would starve to death for sure.
And so would the public. If you go to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/NTN, you can help support the Doghouse. And God knows we need it. Because it isn't like we're going to make a dime off the show, but we'd like to help you could help us keep the show on the air, because at some point it's going to interfere with Phil's drinking habit. So
yeah, well, Ken already told me earlier today I have to quit Coke Zero.
He does. He has to change it over to a new product. He can't drink it anymore because apparently they are discriminatory, but that's another show which you can listen to on the NTN Radio Network.
Thank you.
And it's called You Heard It Here, and if you want to know about Phil's drinking habit, go check out You Heard It Here on NTNRadio.com. Is that fair?
Fair enough.
Okay. So, did you guys take pictures of a military bike this weekend again, just for the hell of it?
No. I had like a million people at my house, or at least when you have a house
which is
so small, like eight people seem like a million.
Yeah. Phil's house is like a little bit bigger than a dog house, wouldn't you say?
Most of our listeners definitely have a garage bigger than my house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? No doubt about it.
No, yeah. There's no question about that.
So, I had...
Most people have a shed bigger than your house, Phil.
Most people have a milk carton bigger than my house, all right? I had all kinds of family out, and, you know, my folks were down, which was good because I got to see them.
And when you're talking about the Worthington family, you do mean all kinds of family.
Yeah, all kinds. For the Easter holiday and stuff, but it was good to actually have a bunch of people there.
Mm-hmm.
Then, I put out the donation plate for a bigger house.
Mm.
You know, I was not smart.
Working out better than the doghouse?
No.
No.
So I still
did you get
there.
Enough for another bottle of Coke Zero?
No. I actually had to stop and buy Coke Zero on the way home because my sister, who married a really rich guy, drank me Coke Zero.
So wow. You got at least one smart member of the family.
Wow.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it wasn't my brother-in-law, because he's a real nice guy, but he still married my sister.
Yeah.
Just picking on
which was probably the one thing that you can say that she's actually done right, right?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I mean, she's better than my other sister.
Yeah. There's sibling love.
Sibling love here on the Doghouse.
That's right.
Warren, did you do anything fun for the holidays? I saw you posted up a picture. Did you go riding?
That was a random pick from last year. I did do some riding since our last show. I got about 180 miles altogether, most of it commuting. So I did go to a little riding, got the blue bike out for, got rained on, of course.
Yeah, well, that's the way it works. It's the rule. That's the rule. If you skip the good weather, you will find the bad weather.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. I find the bad weather no matter what. That's why I got a patch, custom made for the crew that we ride with. It says Storm Chasers. It seems like no matter when we go out, we always get wet.
So you were just riding back and forth to work?
Yes, and I got wet.
And you got wet. On the way to work or the way home?
On the way.
Oh, that's always
It sucks.
That's always
It wasn't
fun.
Supposed to rain, but it it just like one of those showers.
You're like going through the mountains to get to work, right?
I got to cross two mountains.
Yeah, so you're going to have some climactic effects by just going through the mountains, right?
Ooh, he said a nasty word.
Well, you were talking about getting wet. He's going to come back.
I don't.
You have to understand the difference between climate and climax. Okay, there's a big difference.
I don't think in his head there is. No, it had a good time, and it was just a good week since the last show. Yeah. Nothing special, just
holiday weekends. Yeah. You know.
Went shooting one day.
I did nothing interesting at all. I was actually doing electrical work all day long on.
That explains
Saturday.
Your curly hair. I was going. I thought maybe you went on and got a perm.
Yeah,
but
that's right. That's right. Yeah. No, I was doing some work in my mother-in-law's house, which recently sold and had some issues that came up in the home inspection, and I was fixing them. So I was being handyman this weekend.
Certified electrician.
Much fun. Don't get paid. Don't get fed. Pretty much nothing.
Don't even get a hug out of it.
Nothing.
Probably just got yelled at the whole time.
Not the whole time, but probably.
Your wife went out to buy herself dinner then.
No, I just got the honey-do list.
You didn't have any climatic changes.
No, did not. I did not have any
for years.
Or climaxes for that matter.
Not since you or I have known them.
That's probably true. That is probably true. So anyway, so there wasn't any. And it doesn't sound like anybody really had any fun this weekend. Well, you did. You had some people.
Yeah, I had a bunch, and I had a bonfire that you guys both blew off.
Yeah.
So if the listeners can't see, I'm giving them both the finger.
Yeah.
Well, we're number one.
Well, you kind of did blow off helping me do electrical work over my mother-in-law's house.
You never even
house,
said
too.
Anything because I probably.
That's because you announced plans in advance.
See, that's smart.
That's right.
So you know, I burned a lot of things in my front yard.
Cool.
None of which was my house, which was probably the only.
Well, the fact that you got anything actually burning in front of your house, I think, is a good deal.
Well, I'm down to just one pile.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
I need to come out just to see that.
You would not recognize the place.
I bet you I wouldn't.
You would not recognize the place.
I bet you I wouldn't. Did you mow any yet?
You know, I got the lawnmowers running yesterday and everything. Mm. I will be mowing by the end of the week.
Cool.
Not cool.
No, not cool.
Not cool. I would be happy if I never had to mow my lawn. No, I like mowing the lawn, so.
All right.
Well, now you have a big tractor to do it with.
No, and I'm not going to do it with that. I'm going to do it with the other ride-on, the little ride-on.
Mm. Yeah.
Make it look nice.
Yeah. So anyway,
and there was no racing.
Well, that was the tough thing this weekend. There was literally no racing of any sort.
No supercross, no superbike.
No supercross.
Nothing.
No superbike.
Nothing.
Not even four-wheel racing.
No, not even NASCAR. I didn't even know.
Right,
I mean,
no NASCAR.
I didn't remember that they don't race the Easter weekend.
Easter
kinda thought
and
they
Mother's Day.
That's it, right? Easter and Mother's Day. Hmm. So there was really nothing. There was nothing to watch on TV. And then on top of everything else, you have a DVR now working in your house?
No.
Jesus, it's going to take you longer than cable.
Probably. Go ahead.
But my TiVo blew up this weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is not good. That's not good. I mean, my life pretty much depends on that machine, so.
Yeah.
How many parts is it?
I'm in mourning. I am literally in mourning.
You should bring that out to my house and we should burn it.
Well, I can burn it, but it doesn't really matter one way or the other. I don't have one.
I just want to burn it.
Okay.
That'd be a good YouTube video that would get like 2 million hits.
Anyway.
Well, doesn't your provider give you a DVR as part of their package?
They don't give anything. If I want to get a DVR, I got to pay for it every month. Every month.
Every month. Me too.
Yeah.
You I'm pay too for cheap.
First, my provider charges me $20 a month to have DVR service and then charges you $19.99 a month to rent the DVR.
Yeah.
So it ends up costing you $39.99 a month to have a DVR with my service. So it's like that would pay for my TiVo in a few months almost.
Yeah.
Right? So, but in any case, the new TiVos are very, very expensive and not currently on my shopping list. So anyway, I guess that means that music.
We're going to break.
That music says we've talked enough and we're going to go on break. And we come back.
And while we're on break.
And while we're on break.
While we're on break, go to Doghouse 2-Wheel Radio on Facebook. And like us.
What is Doghouse 2-Wheel Radio? Is that like facebook.com/Doghouse Radio? I guess it is. Okay, so we come back. We come back to the side of this break. I'm going to actually talk about the rarest bike ever.
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 The Modus.
right, folks, welcome back to the Doghouse on NTNRadio.com.
Thank you.
Former home of the Doghouse
on NTNRadio.com.
Okay. So, I had mentioned rare bikes. I always like to do stories about rare bikes.
Okay, can I guess? We know it's not a Modus because you just laughed going into break.
Yeah, I said rare, not mythical. Okay. There's a difference.
Is it a Ducati that won a GP race?
No, there have been Ducatis that have won GP races.
Is it a Suzuki that's won?
Let me.
A Captain America bike.
Is it a Suzuki that's won a Moto America race?
Well, is there a Moto America race? Yes, there's a Suzuki that have won Moto America races. Ben Spies on a Suzuki won.
Never raced a Moto America.
Well, it wasn't Moto America.
He's getting technical.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, he's throwing out little technicalities.
But I say it's another Captain America bike.
Everybody,
it's like a mythical unicorn that farts rainbows.
I have three Captain America.
What part of this story was, can you guess?
When I changed the topic.
Yes, exactly. Right. Okay. It didn't do that. So, you know, if you're like me, which most really intelligent people are, you generally assume the rarest of bikes are usually the older bikes from like the early 1900s, right? Wouldn't you think the rarest of bikes?
You would think that. Yeah. That'd be a good way to look at antiques.
I would think it was something in the 50s.
Okay.
Like a Triton.
Why would you think that, Phil? Because, you know, inquiring minds want to know.
Because older bikes, there was always a certain amount of people that put them in garages and they never got touched with. But bikes in the 50s to find originals and stuff, just like cars, 30s and 50s cars, people would go back, buy those, and change them into the Vincati, change them into different things. You know, so I would think something in the 50s. That's just my thought.
Oh, that's an interesting philosophy you have there. But my thought, and Warren's, because, you know, we think like the average person, whereas Phil thinks like somebody who's on a colony on Mars, would have thought that it was the older bikes would be the rarest bikes. Mm-hmm. But apparently that's not so. And Phil made me a lot closer to the truth. And
say that's not so.
And you, yeah, I know. It happens every now and then.
See, I think like a normal person, you guys.
You've never thought like a normal person, Phil. Let's be honest.
Look, okay. I've screwed up logic, but I get right close to the point.
You'd be the first person to tell us you don't think like a normal person.
That's actually
and
true.
The bike you're going to actually find in this week's post is probably the rarest treat a vintage bike collector could ever even dream of. And Bonham's Auction is in charge of finding a new owner for the bike. But that part of it isn't the most interesting part of the story. The bike that's actually pictured in the post is simply the rarest Vincent bike money can buy.
Oh, I was even close when I said the Vincati.
You were pretty close then.
Because that was out of a Vincent. Look at that.
And that is because it appears to be one of a kind. Over the years, we've talked numerous times about the most common Vincent, which is the Black Shadows. At least most common from the standpoint of what a collector's would be looking for.
Right.
Black Shadows are
and
very...
And that's the one you normally hear about when you hear that name.
They've been very, very collectible in there. And it is actually, in the Vincent line, it's kind of the... it's kind of like the dark brute of a bike. You know, it's supposed to be their more sinister kind of bike. And it definitely... That's definitely true because the Black Shadows have earned that, you know, that bike into... you know, almost mythical status in most motorcycling history books because it did 150.313 miles per hour, which is about 241 and change kilometers per hour at Bonneville in 1948. And this was at a time that there were very few cars who could do that at that time. The Series C Black Shadow machines were produced in a particularly small quantity. By today's standards, by far, there were only 1,507 units built between 1949 and 1952. But the bike in this week's post is a White Shadow, and only 15 White Shadows were. Now, White Shadow was a basketball coach.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was a TV show.
That's right. He was a basketball coach.
So that was Space Ghost.
See, this is what I mean by he doesn't think like an old person.
Come on.
There were only 15 White Shadows ever made, and unlike the Black Shadows, the white Shadows had a polished bare metal engine and matching cases. And what's making things even more intriguing, that this particular White Shadow has its gas tank, fork tubes, fender braces, brake backing plates, and various other parts painted in Vincent's Chinese red. not repainted, but overpainted. It was overpainted, but the factory painted color is a color that simply was not available for this model. So, I mean, it is truly...
It was a factory painted special color. Somebody special ordered it and paid extra to get it painted a different color.
Well, that's sort of one of the theories in there, but they didn't really offer you the ability to do this.
Or somebody went out and bought a can of rattle paint.
No, this is the original factory color. The Chinese red color was reserved solely for the Rapide Touring models. And that, you know, why and how this white shadow received the Chinese red paint is a total mystery. You know, was the bike built for one of the founders of the company? Was it for a special client as done as a favor? Because they didn't really give special orderings, but nobody seems to know, and there's no trackable history on the bike that would point to the origins of the bike.
So in reality, this is the Red Shadow.
Perhaps. The third owner of this bike wanted to restore the bike in the late 1980s, but before he started restoration, he had a brilliant idea to do some research on the bike. The supposed bare metal parts had been painted in a strange green hue, but the owner figured out that the bike was actually a white shadow, and therefore those parts should have been polished to a bare metal sheen. So somebody had owned it between the
original one. Well, that's why bikes in the 50s, you know, we didn't really start customizing cars here until the late 40s.
Right.
And customizing bikes until the late 40s. Mm-hmm. So people customize. So come around the 50s.
I wouldn't call this customizing. I would call
it
adulteration. You know,
but
people repainted cars and
not a lot.
Oh, I think people. Earl Scheib started in the '50s, so you know,
right in the '50s. That's why I said
that you're saying nobody before the '50s. Even more, the red paint was found in some of the forks crevices, which caused him to do further research, and that's when the Chinese red original color was discovered, and only one of the forks was left unpainted. Now the white shadow has been restored to virtually original state. AMA Hall of Fame's Mike Party took care of the engine overhaul with Carrillo Conrods and a Malmark II carburetors and electronic ignition and a two-step high-volume oil pump, and the bike is ready to roll right now, but this bike is likely to see little, if any, road miles, as it's more valuable than anything out there. Reproductions of the original steel touring fenders are provided with the bike because it was fitted with stainless steel ones. The green aftermarket fenders, original carbs, and magneto, alongside with some 200 pages of restoration receipts, are part of the deal.
Wow.
But the aftermarket parts are of pretty much no value whatsoever. Because
no, those are aftermarket
boys. That's exactly right.
Unless you were able to find new old stock, it's not going to be there.
Yeah, the authenticity of the bike has been confirmed by the Vincent Owners Club. And if you wonder what this bike is worth, nobody knows. But experts will only venture that it's priceless. Now,
well, we know exactly. Well, we know what the most expensive bike ever sold at auction is.
Yes, we do.
Is that Winchester? And
yes.
That sold for about $650,000.
Yes.
So it's still number one. So
and it will probably end up being number one because nobody knows what price Bonham's going to put on it. Bonham's going to put a price on it, but the predictions by the experts are that whatever price is paid now, that it is likely to grow in value exponentially, making any bidder as much an investor as a motorcycle enthusiast. And that's probably what's going to happen. Somebody's going to buy it because they know this is going to be a $1 million bike. There's no other record of a one-off Vincent ever.
That's the same with that Winchester. It's the only one that's existing.
Well, that's true. But the thing about it is Vincents are amazingly collectible. They're amazingly collectible. I mean, Black Shadows, which...
And there's a bunch more people in the world that know what a Vincent is.
Yeah, but there are no Vincents in the top 10 most expensive bikes right now. It's almost all Boros.
They might not be, but this one is probably...
It definitely sounds like it's going to definitely crack the top 10.
It will probably crack the top 10, and the thing about it is this bike is just going to get more and more valuable because this was an unknown thing. Nobody knew this thing even existed. The Winchester, we knew that the Winchester existed. It's just that this was, one of
the only one that survived.
Yeah, it was the only one that's out there right now. This guy is the one that's the only one that's out there, and there's a huge market for Vincents anyways. I mean, Black Shadows command big money, and White Shadows command even more money.
Yeah, I didn't even know White Shadows existed, to be honest with you.
Excuse me. And one that's painted in a unique color without any explanation or
red shadow.
Well, whatever. I think it's really, really cool. I think what will happen is it'll end up, it won't end up bringing in as much money as people
I know
think.
What. You said this is from like the late 40s, early 50s, right?
Yeah. Well, it would have been during the White Shadow run. So, yeah, it would have probably been
I know why it's painted red. It was they're selling it to Mao Zedong, the communist leader of Red China. So he wanted a red Vincent.
Chinese red or something, right?
That's what it was. They just never delivered it.
It is Chinese red. That is the color.
They didn't deliver it.
That's the name of the color. And they painted a lot of bikes Chinese red, but the less collectible Rapide touring models offered that color. And that was it. And that was the only one that ever did that. So it's just kind of a unique thing, because you would think if they were doing something for a special customer or for one of the founders, it would have been painted in a color that was not offered on any of their other bikes, right? Would have been painted in something moonlight blue or something different that was unique that you wouldn't find on any other bike. The Chinese red, which was solely for the Rapide models being on this bike, just creates a
whole
new level of mystery.
Maybe they were planning on trading that for Taiwan.
So I don't know, but like I said, I'm going to venture that this bike is not going to
break 650.
I'm not even sure that it will crack the top 10. I think the thing about it is that this is going to be a speculation bike.
Here's what's going to happen. Yeah. It's how much does Jay Leno want this bike, and who has the balls to stay with him in the bidding to get it to that price.
Right. Well, I don't
know who's going to say, you know, in an auction, how auctions go is there's always somebody who wants it. Mm-hmm. And there's always somebody that's going to drive the price up on that person. Mm. It's who can afford to drive the price up on Leno.
I think
because you know Leno wants it.
Yeah, I think there'll be a fair number of bidders, but I still think that this is one.
Yeah,
of
but
those,
that's early. This bike it always is being gets down to two.
This bike is really going to be bought by somebody who's thinking what the value of this bike is going to be in 20 or 30 years.
Yeah,
which is probably going to exceed $1 million in 20 or 30 years. You know, one of a kind, stay one of a kind, you know, and they just get more and more valuable over time. I like the Winchester, you know. But the thing, I could see this, I could very easily seeing this being purchased by somebody for a donation to one of the museums, you know, like the Barber Motorsports Museum. That happens
a lot.
Somebody
can actually get close and see it.
Yes, yeah, so
it'll be on top of the glass display.
Well, that's kind of
send it to Motorcyclopedia, so at least we can get a good look at it.
Well, we
or the AMA.
Hey,
because they don't put us in the Hall of Fame. I ain't sending them anybody.
I
didn't even get us credit for the formation of Motor America. I looked on Wikipedia. When you look up Motor America, it mentions nothing about the doghouse.
I, you know, as much as we say that, I do have to say one thing, though, about the Barber Motorsports Museum. Even though there were many bikes that were way above your head and you couldn't touch anything like that, there were a lot of bikes on the floor you could go right up and touch.
Yeah,
which was kind of cool.
Which they didn't like.
No. You couldn't go up and sit on them. But you
is that why we got kicked? You got kicked out as Phil was licking the bikes?
Yeah, right.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But, you know, I just think it's really, really cool. And like I said, there's a picture of it in this week's post, so make sure you check it out. That's, by the way, that's ntnradio.com if you don't know that. And if you haven't figured it out by now, go somewhere else. Anyway, so that's sort of the story of the rarest bike ever. The rarest bike ever. So when we get back, I'm going to actually do a story about motorcycle hooligans that I want to get some input from you guys on. I want to hear what you guys think about
hooligans?
It. Yeah.
I'm all in.
I wanted to talk about this story a few weeks ago. I didn't get to talk about it. So
Bill had his family down. That's all you need to know.
There was more crime discussed around my bonfire.
Let's think about that, or I'll talk about something else. I don't know. So this is the Doghouse on NTN Radio. right, folks. Welcome back to the Doghouse on NTNRadio.com. Okay, guys, I actually, this story is for you guys because I really do want to get some feedback from you guys about, you know, what the responsible riding community should do about this story. So a couple weekends ago, around 150 motorcycle riders took to the public roads around Las Vegas, Nevada. They were speeding and riding recklessly in the downtown and areas surrounding Las Vegas. And this was like not even really during the meat of the riding season, but this is actually becoming a regular sight in the U.S. And on several recent weekends, motorcyclists rode in packs of 20 to 30 or more, blocking intersections and roads while popping wheelies and doing donuts in major intersections. According to a statement released by the police in Las Vegas, over 100 motorcycle riders left a park located south of Las Vegas, and even though they tended to stay under the posted speed limits, the group performed stunts in the roadway, including wheelies and burnouts at different points, and in various group sizes, riders would take over intersections to allow other riders to perform stunts in the intersection as they had stopped traffic. And they did not stop at traffic lights or posted stop signs, according to the police. The overwhelming number of motorcyclists breaking the law and causing a public disturbance required several law enforcement agencies to leave other ongoing actions to address the problem, including the Nevada Highway Patrol to assist the Vegas Police Department to clear up the intersections and the roads that were being blocked. And the incident that happened a couple Sundays ago, at least one motorcycle was involved in an injury accident caused by the riders. And this isn't the first time riders have done this. And apparently it's not a biker behavior limited to Las Vegas. I've experienced it myself. As recently as January 19th, motorcyclists and ATV riders took over the streets of Miami, Dade, and Broward counties in southern Florida, ignoring traffic lights, driving the wrong way down city streets. In some cases, they sped along the sidewalks. Again,
I don't even want to talk about this.
Yeah, this has happened here in the D.C. area, too.
Here's why I don't want to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Because I'm pretty sure we've had in the studio the person who invented this.
Well, we've had someone in the studio.
How did they make their money?
Well, yeah, but they were out on the roads and they were doing things, they're filming, but they were limited to very small groups when they did that.
You didn't watch all the videos.
Oh,
these are groups of over 100.
These groups over 100. I have watched a lot of their videos. I've never seen
numbers
like that.
They were never that big, right. But they were large groups.
18-20 riders.
18-20.
Right.
Well, okay.
And by the way, we've even said when we had him in the studio that we're not in favor of it. So, but the reason I want to do this is I want to get some input from you guys. So, and in the Miami incident, again, there were well over 100 riders, and they were part of an organized event called Bikes Up, Guns Down.
So, I mean, that sounds like a good cause, and the community should be supporting it.
Maybe.
If they're out there hurting themselves on bikes, as long as they ain't shooting at each other, hey.
Well, Bikes Up, Guns Down, I don't know. Regardless of what political point, it's meant to highlight law enforcement, local media, and more importantly, the non-riding public came away with a less than favorable impression of motorcyclists.
Yeah.
A similar event just happened last year, and this is just a small sampling as there have been hundreds of less reported incidents of smaller numbers of motorcyclists who, while riding in groups, will swarm through cars and trucks on the highway. Not only do these moments find the group monopolizing the road, they sometimes perform wheelies while doing so. In fact, on more than one occasion, my wife has called me to tell me about groups of riders taking over all lanes on the main highway in this area, the Beltway, slowing traffic and doing wheelies while people are trying to come home from work. So, guys, here's the question.
Do you run them over?
And
oh, okay. Go ahead. What's the question?
What will or should the motorcycling community do about this very small but very visible segment of the riding world that's tainting the overall image of motorcyclists? So what do you think people do? Because this is becoming more and more commonplace, I've noticed, over the last decade.
Over the last decade, yeah.
Definitely.
I don't know what you can do about it. I mean, you know, if law enforcement, you know, what am I going to do? You know, run out and jump them and knock them down off their bikes?
Well, we could hire the Hells Angels.
That's what Phil wants to do.
Well, all right, I believe anybody who stops traffic on an interstate deserves to get run over.
And sometimes they do.
Right. And well, I don't care. Could be it could be somebody out there that was pro some law I do. If you stop me on an interstate, if you stand in the middle of an interstate and expect me to stop, you're barking up the wrong tree.
That happened not too long ago here in the D.C. area.
That's right.
A group was doing it, and one guy wrecked and killed himself.
Those people that were blocking the people going to Trump, I'd run them over. Those people, that when they blocked the intersection, mm-hmm. I drive at them with a 7,000-pound weapon.
So your recommendation to the law
abiding... My recommendation to the biker community is thin the herd. Those guys are going to get killed or arrested.
So your recommendation...
What are we going to do? I'm not going to rat them out.
So your recommendation to the law-abiding motorcycling community...
Stay away from them jerks.
Well, that, you know, you just said run them over.
Or, well, I mean, obviously on your bike, you can't run over another bike.
But the,
go home, get in your SUV.
Right, and go over a run. That's your recommendation.
No, my recommendation, as a biker, my recommendation is... If you don't support that, don't be a part of it.
Well, that wasn't the whole point of the story. The whole point of the story is that it's giving the law-abiding motorcycling community a bad name.
It is.
So did Sons of Anarchy, but we didn't say, what do we do about that?
I didn't.
Thank God they did their own thing and destroyed themselves with the last three episodes.
I think most of the non-riding public can hear stories about the Hells Angels or look at Sons of Anarchy and understand that that's a very small niche. But when it's happening and you're trying to come home from work, that's invading your actual life, right?
What's the difference mm-hmm. between what they're doing
yeah.
and the guys who are doing a motorcycle run and stopping traffic at the intersection to let the rest of the bikes go through without a police escort? What's the difference?
Well, I think anytime they get involved with impeding your rights to use the road, which you're a taxpayer,
so
are we
complaining about the Patriot Guard rights? Are we complaining about... the military charity rides? Doing the same thing.
No, the Patriot Guard riders are not there on just going out and have fun.
I get that, but they're still stopping traffic.
But they're usually pre-planned to get law enforcement to stop the traffic.
But when they don't, they still stop the traffic. And anybody in this studio that claims they haven't been part of a ride that stopped traffic without law enforcement doing it is a lying bastard and should leave right now. We've all been part of those rides where... guys in the ride have stopped the traffic to let everybody go through the red light and stuff, and none of us thought it was bad. You can't judge the people that are doing the stupid stuff now. We've all done this stupid stuff.
I completely disagree with you. I completely disagree with you. I have never been on a ride.
Never. Lie.
Listen to me. I have never been on a ride, okay, that has not been associated with a charity or a purpose that, look, if they stop the traffic at an intersection, which, number one, in most intersections, they have a traffic light anyways, that's not like stopping traffic in the middle of a main road or the highway. Completely different.
You know what?
You don't think it's different?
It's on a six-lane interstate, it is a big difference.
If it ain't the cops starting it, stopping mm-hmm. the traffic, it's no different in my eyes. If it's a ride that has police mm-hmm. escorts mm-hmm. and the cops are the ones stopping the traffic and waving people through mm-hmm. the intersection, you're right. But mm-hmm. you know what? We've all been on rides where somebody stopped the traffic to let the rest of the ride through because all 100 bikes couldn't get through that one green light
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And they stopped it, and there's no difference.
But, okay, well, it's fine.
You said these guys are stopping in intersections. Blocking off the intersection.
No.
Interstate.
They were taking over the intersection so they could stunt in the middle of the intersection.
Right. What's the difference between a guy taking over the intersection to stunt and a guy taking over the intersection to keep waving people with him through?
A big difference.
Not to me.
Well, to me, there's a big difference. I think there's a huge difference between I'm going to go out there and entertain myself in the middle of an intersection and I'm going to let bikes go through. Do I agree with you about the cops should stop it? Absolutely. But the cops will not come out to all events.
That's right.
I understand that. But you think any of these guys are calling the cops to say, come out, stop
bikes
traffic
down.
On the belt?
Guns up, bikes down.
Right.
Is a charity event. It's the battle, the gang violence going on down there. What's the difference? Is it because Ken Kaplan, it's a black group? I just pulled the race card on it.
Phil.
What's the difference?
Phil.
Is it because they're sport bikers?
They weren't stopping the traffic so they could let all the bikes go through. They were stopping the traffic.
That's the way they protest.
Okay, so...
you don't understand.
So that makes it okay for them to run down the sidewalk.
In today's society, it does.
Well, I completely disagree with that.
And the other thing is, I don't think as a biker, it's my responsibility
Let's get back to the original story. Okay, are you in favor of what they're doing?
I could care less.
Really? You don't care what the image it creates for the motorcycling community?
I do care about the image personally, but I don't have any clue of how to do something about it. I mean, because Phil does have a bit of a point there. Did they stop him? They probably just stopped him long enough as the same as one of these multi-thousand rider rides. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure we blocked intersections of, you know, for 5 or 10 minutes getting all the bikes through. And right. if they, how long did they block an intersection?
That pisses me off more than the guys who sit through one red light doing stunts and taking off before the cops. Because I'd rather sit there and have those one guys do the stunts and then take off than
You just want the entertainment.
No, but to sit through four lights.
Okay, if you were riding home, if you were coming home from work, and they slowed down or stopped traffic on the highway, and forget about you wanting to run them over.
But they're never there for more than a minute or two.
No. They were definitely there longer than that. And not only that, you know what the highways are like around here. If you slow traffic,
you wouldn't notice you were stopped.
No, if you slow traffic down, it starts backing up immediately, and it becomes multiplied as you go on. But that you're missing the whole point of the story.
Image for bikers,
which we already struggle enough with image. Isn't it something we always struggle
with?
What
are we supposed to do? Go out and beat up everybody?
I'm not telling you what you should do. I'm asking for input from you guys. What, if anything, do you think we should do?
I don't think we should do anything.
You don't think there's anything you can do?
Sadly, I don't know.
Well, I hope we're doing something about it here.
No, I don't think so. Because all we're doing is just talking about it. The people who are doing these stunts are not going to, you know, even if they listen to us,
they're not going to care. Them old guys.
Yeah.
Well, what?
Get on your Harley and ride.
Well, how do you stop it?
I don't know that you can.
You can't.
No, I don't know that you can. That doesn't mean that you don't try to combat the negative view of the motorcycle.
Okay, how do you combat it? You can't.
Well, I mean,
well, you can. By, you know, if you get somebody on
you
the TV,
you can call 1%ers and then get your ass kicked by the Hell's Angels.
Here's what the problem is. The news isn't going to report that this happened, but they're not going to turn to an AMA rep or somebody else to say, well, why is it so bad? What can we do about it? They're not going to do that. They're just going to report the bad stuff, and that's the end of it.
Right.
And that tends to be the end of it. But I think that, you know, there are things that people could do. There's some very, very notable celebrities and people involved in government that are motorcycle riders that I think they should come out.
But these guys don't.
And they're not going to care about that.
Do you think Kenny gave a damn when he was in his 20s about what some celebrity or politician said?
If it had been a celebrity motorcycle rider, yes. I do.
Okay, name a celebrity motorcycle rider. Well, that would have mattered.
I can't think of his last name right now. Jason, who was the stunt rider. And I can't think of his
Jason
last name.
Jason Britton?
Yeah, Jason Britton.
Yeah,
if he came out,
Britton had more TV creds than street creds. Like, what you would have to
oh,
do.
No, you're wrong. Jason Britton had a hell of a following on the street. He actually, a lot of the guys that are out stunt riding in the streets right now, you could trace their DNA right back to Britton.
Because he knocked up their moms?
Didn't say that.
Yeah, you said yeah, he did. DNA. You said Jason Britton.
Yes, you did.
Mom.
You said that.
You said it here, right on the dog.
I said DNA. I didn't see anybody knocked anybody up.
Here's what I'm going to say is, A, it's not my problem to police those guys. B,
I didn't say it was.
B, image-wise... Mm-hmm. You know what? The news won't do anything to come out and report the good things that motorcycles do.
Right.
So the way to stop the image thing is to force the news to come to good motorcycle things.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but that's not good news. Nobody watches.
But do you understand that? That's right. But
the way to end that is to drive over the people. People don't do stuff that get them killed.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
Every day.
Do we have to do another helmet law story? I mean, seriously.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no answer. There's no answer that you can sit there and say, "Oh, well, we need to talk to them. Sit them down," because they're not listening. They're not listening to begin with. They already made this group has already made the commitment that they're going to go tear an ass down these roads and do whatever they want. It's like that group in New York City, right? That ride in New York City where that SUV ran him down and then they beat the guy up.
Right.
And then they all cracked down on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And that ride doesn't happen now. You think that ride doesn't happen because of the cops?
No.
No, it doesn't happen because they realize, there's crazy New Yorkers.
Actually, I do because most of them were cops.
But there's crazy New Yorkers that will drive over them.
Okay, that's not going to happen, Phil. That's just not going to happen nationwide. It won't happen. It won't. I'm telling you, it won't.
One crazy
you know why?
Person
there's not
in.
Enough. You know, there's not
enough
crazy,
crazy people.
No, it's, I was going to say there's not enough people that are out there going to do that. Nor would I think it's very responsible to even recommend that.
I'm not saying you should. I'm saying
you're just a legend.
You're a legend in your own mind.
As far as the bad image,
you don't care.
What? Okay.
I do care, but there's nothing we can do. I don't think there's
any bikers. 60% of the bikers I know want the bad boy image. That's why they got the bike.
There's a difference between a bad
look boy. Look at how different Warren looks on his bike than when he comes into the studio. Warren wants the bad guy image. Everybody I know wants,
I'm
going to wear the black leather. I'm going to do this. It's not about I enjoy the riding. No, they want to walk. How many rubes out there do you walk in there and see, and they got the tattoos and they're wearing their biker leather and stuff, and it's like, you're not a badass.
It's hopeless.
They want that image. They need that image.
I will admit, when I walk into a little store after riding, and I got my jacket and my helmet in my hand, you know, the parents do pull their kids closer.
And he loves every minute of it.
You know, the women look at me longingly.
Wow.
they lustfully gaze upon him drooling.
Wow.
Listen.
Yeah, it works.
At what point do you think
motorcycle... Here,
and then I wake up.
Do you think there'd be as many motorcycle riders as there are now if there wasn't the Hells Angels?
Hold that thought. So at what point, Warren, when this is all going on, do you wake up?
That's what I just said, and then I wake up.
Yeah, right.
Do you think there would be as many motorcycle riders as there are right now if it wasn't for the Hells Angels? And
Do you think? Not even close. Do you think? Because we're going to have to go to a break.
There might not be as many Harleys out there, but there are definitely motorcycles.
There's a big difference from looking badass and having the bad boy image, right, than there is to actually becoming a public nuisance. And if you don't understand the difference, then I can't help you there.
But Warren isn't a badass. If there ain't some guy on a bike being a badass for the fear to get over to say, oh my God, there's a guy on a bike. Nobody's a badass without somebody else taking an action.
Guys on sport bikes doing wheelies do not make Warren a badass. Sorry. Doesn't happen.
He's a biker.
All right.
They're criminals.
We come back.
Australia's right. All bikers are criminals.
We come back. We're gonna
talk about
A motorcycle? Do we have? We got to
go. We can talk about whatever because there was no racing.
Well, that's why I have another story in there. I'm going to actually talk about an Italian motorcycle that's won lots of races, and it's not Phil's favorite. So we'll be back inside this break. Welcome back to the Doghouse on NTNRadio.com. We just came in after blocking all the cars in the parking lot doing wheelies and stuff.
Yeah.
there are a lot of pissed off Hispanics out there right now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Fortunately, either that or they were cheering us.
They tried to run us over. So I had mentioned Italian motorcycle brand, and it wasn't Ducati because I know it's Phil's favorite motorcycle.
Aprilia? MV Agusta.
Even news stories that we do about Ducati, Phil wants to put in eighth place. But yeah. Although they're going to change that this year, Phil, I'm telling you. I'm actually going to talk about MV Agusta, which has had a pretty remarkable past, but also a lot of troubles. The manufacturer won many MotoGP championships with John Surtees and Giacomo Agostini aboard. But in the marketplace, MV Agusta has not been as well accepted. And many people aren't even aware that for a while the off-road marquee Husqvarna was part of the MV Agusta stable. Not so much anymore. They've been sold off. MV Agusta survived the Harley-Davidson one-year debacle, because only Harley-Davidson would buy a brand and keep it for one year.
That makes no sense.
No, we're going to buy the brand for $109 million and then give it away a year later, is what they did.
That makes sense.
Are you a stockholder in Harley-Davidson?
No.
Okay, that's good. We had somebody on the show one time that was a stockholder at Harley Davidson. If I was a stockholder in a company that bought another company.
Well, he claimed he was a stockholder.
Well, that is true.
And that, you know,
but I mean, if you
purchased, he claimed a lot of things.
If you purchased a company for $109 million, then 1 year later gave it away, literally gave it away, I'm surprised
they didn't get sued over that. Because that's a fiduciary responsibility that someone did not meet.
To the stockholders, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. That's, I would agree with that.
I used a big word.
And MV Agusta's financial situation is kind of like a roller coaster. And once again, MV Agusta is in financial trouble. And this time, reports suggest...
It's the European Buell.
It's the... I mean, no, this that's not even fair because actually the MV,
wow,
the MV Agusta bikes are serious, serious bikes.
And you can get parts for them.
that is true. But it looks like they actually might be looking to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The company announced that it hopes to restructure its 40 million euro debt with its lenders, and this despite posting a turnover of 100 million euros in 2015, which was a 30% increase over the previous year. So if you grow by 30%, you're losing money, you got some serious management issues.
Yeah, there's something wrong in Denmark or Italy.
Right. MV Agusta's relationship with Mercedes-AMG, which many had hoped would help bolster the weak management, is also not going great. According to reports, there has been no announcement made from Mercedes-AMG so far. They own 25% of MV Agusta, and they bought the 25% stake in MV Agusta at the end of 2014, but MV Agusta has piled on debt since then in an attempt to rapidly expand the company, which, you know, you got to manage your money. If you can't do that, you won't be in business, as somebody in Milwaukee knows. Like every company either in or contemplating bankruptcy restructuring, the management always offers up a rosy scenario. You know, when somebody's getting ready to go, it seems like the best time in a company, if you believe management, is right about the time you're going to file for bankruptcy, because you want all the potential people who are going to bail your butt out to think everything's great. So here's actually from the management of MV Agusta. With the active involvement of all of its employees and a reinforced management structure, MV Agusta has already identified the strategy aimed at consolidating and strengthening corporate values, as well as protecting the company's shareholders. We are confident that overcoming the current situation of financial liquidity, that our company will cover and achieve economic results to satisfy the expectation of our employees and our creditors. And that was in a press statement. And that's where I scream, that's the standard. I'm about to go belly up BS that comes out from every company when things get really, really bad. So I imagine that speech has probably been dusted off a few times.
A few.
In the past, yeah. There's also rumors floating around that that Mercedes is planning to buy out MV Agusta in full, which I think would be the best thing, in order to save their original 25% investment. They figured we're already in this deep, you know, we might as well pick it up for another buck and a half, which would be the best solution because Mercedes-Benz would surely fire all the existing MV management. No question about that. Or they might just realize with the brand changing hands four times in the last 12 years that the public isn't likely to embrace their products.
Yeah. I don't see, even unless they relabeled to Mercedes, I don't think
You know, the thing about it is MV Agusta's got a hell of a racing past. They really, really
but
do.
You just don't see them anywhere but on the racetrack. I can't remember the last time I saw one in the wild.
Okay, here's what I will say.
He's got a point.
Here's what I'll say. Yeah, but you see them much more in Europe than you do in the U.S., okay? I mean, you'll definitely see a lot more of them.
That might be true, but there's much more.
There isn't much of a market or even a dealer market for MV Agustas in the U.S. That's the way it's always been. It's primarily a European, you know, marquee, and that's where they... that's where they do that.
How many bikes does it say? How many bikes they built last year?
I don't know, but I mean, it was a 30% increase over the prior year. So if they sold nine,
they built 12.
12. 30% increase would be 12. No, I think they sold more than that. But the problem is that the company is being managed really badly. And adding to their problems is the current CEO, Giovanni Castigliano, which is like the grandson,
of the guy that created it. Part of that rural family.
Right, exactly.
The Duke or something.
He's actually reluctant to release control of the company, let alone sell. So apparently he's willing to dig his feet in and play captain of the Titanic. So, but, you know, they even with the brand recognition that they have in the motorcycling community and a serious racing heritage, the bike is still considered as an exotic bike, and you know what the problem is with exotic bikes, and you can ask Ducati about this, or top-end bikes, they don't sell as well when the economy's not good because they're, you know, considered to be a completely luxury item. And the problem, another problem they have is that there's pretty inexpensive bikes that have respectable racing, you know, credentials as well.
Yeah. Honda, Kawasaki, Suzuki. Yeah,
a lot of them out there. I mean, some of the Ducatis as well. But Agusta has survived worse situations in the past. Ever since the firm was revived by Claudio Castigliano nearly 20 years ago, and it's a tough thing without relinquishing control, which is what they what they really need to have happen, because they're obviously not being managed properly, and it's one of the reasons that Harley jumped ship in just 1 year, because they probably didn't want to be in a position of having to plow more money into a poorly run company
or the mob.
So anyway, but that I just want to get that story in. But
I'm glad
we run out of time.
We got a little bit of racing.
Let's talk a little racing.
We can piss off Ken and thousands of our listeners with one announcement. AMA Supermoto announces a TV package deal. Moto America, what happened to you?
MAV TV?
They got four races that are going to be on MAV TV.
I knew it. That's why it's going to piss Ken off.
Right. So it's going to be on MAV TV. They're going to have Sturgis. What do they got? Sturgis, Colorado, Tucson, Arizona. Well,
which racing series is this?
This is Supermoto. Like
Supermoto.
You know, like Supermoto. Like what Elok used to ride. Like what they used to race indoors at All Sports.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Supermoto.
Okay.
They have an outdoor series, but I just thought it was funny that that's on a station that we can actually get.
Isn't it amazing that remote from a watch, it can get that a TV contract, and we don't get one of those with Moto America.
That's kind of why I said it was going to piss Ken off.
Probably because they got it for free.
Allegedly. I don't know. It doesn't say really, but I'm sure it was. And then there was a world
record. Free publicity is good publicity.
There was a world record set this past week.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really ever talk about, but we've all seen the Wall of Death. Right?
The Wall of Death.
I have seen the Wall of Death a number of times in person. It is pretty kind of cool. It's cool when you're up on the top there.
And they take the dollars. Yeah, and it's like cool. If they had topless chicks riding the bikes in there, that I would never leave that at bike week.
If they did that, I'd probably be going over. I'd be falling off the wall.
I mean, I was thinking to myself, I would never leave that thing at bike week.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, the Motorcyclopedia Museum has a Wall of Death that's there. That people come in and use it, like they have their own unit.
That's kind of cool. They have it actually inside. That's not.
Yeah,
that's
it's inside.
So, how much does it? You have to pay to ride it.
I don't know if they'll let you. Well, we could ask.
I don't. Does anybody ride it? Do they?
Yeah,
do
no. They have events.
Oh, really? Indoors. It. That's cool.
Mainly, they pull it outside, I think, for events.
Oh, okay.
So Guy Martin set a new record for speed going around the Wall of Death. And if you don't know what the Wall of Death, you got to Google it. Pretty much it's taking an oversized wood barrel.
You know what? When you originally sent the story to me and I looked at it and I thought, what's Guy Martin doing on that? Guy Martin is, you know, he's a TT guy.
Yeah. Well, why would he risk, you know, long way round.
That's very risky.
Very risky.
And especially for somebody who doesn't do it all the time.
Yeah,
well, but he set a record of 78.15 miles an hour.
Yeah, but it was a much, much bigger than the standard Wall of Death.
Yes, it is a bigger Wall of Death.
And there. I think he had to do that because of the G-force. He's going 78 miles an hour in one of those tiny, small
his is
Walls
almost
of
like
Death.
Four times.
So
yeah, so if you try to do that 78 miles, if you try to do 70 miles an hour in that small one, I bet you the G-force would be incredible.
So this was like the Stadium of Death.
Yeah.
Arena of death.
Arena
is a bit smaller than a stadium, so I'd say arena of death.
Thunderdome.
I think that's – I always like the Wall of Death. You know,
yeah, it is cool.
It's just cool.
It is cool.
To get in there with the go-karts and the
– What do they call the ball those guys ride around in that's not the –
Globe of Death. I remember the first
the
year
Globe
that –
Globe of Death?
They had that at Ringling
Brothers.
Is that
Brothers. The name, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's the Globe of Death.
It is.
Oh.
I have a program from the first year they had that in the Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey.
What's it worth nowadays?
Probably less than what I paid for it, which was like $3.
Yeah, okay.
But that was the first time I went to Ringling Brothers.
Did it come with a chameleon?
No.
Oh, those are cool.
I wish it had.
That's cool.
I'd have been pretty psyched.
I remember getting those when I was a kid.
We didn't. And if you're listening, you should know what "we didn't" means.
Okay.
So that's about it. But we got a lot coming up this weekend. We got World Superbike in Aragon and MotoGP in Argentina. I'm not sure we really have learned anything about anything other than the Kawasaki's are fast in World Superbike.
Yeah, I was going to say, and we learned more in World Superbike, I think,
than anything else.
And MotoGP is going to be a tough one because I don't know what to base it on.
Yeah, right.
Best guess at the moment.
Well, we know that Marquez is faster than he led on before.
Yes, we know he tanked it.
Yeah. So
you know, he flopped on the
right.
He
claimed it was some tire thing, but I think that's complete BS.
Yeah, yeah.
Some changes to the electronics.
Moto 2 will be more interesting.
Moto 2 should be more interesting. Moto 3, even World Super Sport might be more interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
I hope it's more interesting for one person.
Yes, I hope we're celebrating.
It's not like watching an American
wins.
Lead most of the race to lose it at the very end.
I hope we're celebrating a win there.
Moto
2, I hope everybody can launch when they're supposed to.
Yes.
Maybe they need to put like the Supercross bars up to stop that. I don't know.
Yeah. I went back and I watched that tape again, and I could clearly see Zarco snickering after he jumped. He's like, oh, look, I took half the field with me.
Yeah. Or he's going to do it
again.
We
need a restart.
You know, or somebody paid him off, and he's going to take half the field with him again. Yeah. So I'm not really sure what we can take out of all this because I don't know if we've learned a lot yet.
The Kawasaki's are fast.
Hondas are fast. I'm trying to remember in my head what the layout for Argentina is. I don't know about this round, but I think in 2 weeks, a week from this weekend, MotoGP will be in Cota with them two big straightaways. Ducati's going to be a force to reckon with.
Yeah, I think
they're going to be doing at least 355,000 miles an hour because they were, 219 there last year, and now they're fast.
Mach 2.4.
Yeah, they're going to break the speed of sound on the straightaway.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting, that's for sure. So
it should be interesting.
We'll see. Supercross
goes back to the West Coast this weekend.
Yes, they are in
Santa Clara.
Santa Clara.
Oh, boy, they're not going to go back to Anaheim again for the eighth time?
No, they only did like three rounds at Anaheim.
No, there were
two.
There were eight.
That was last year. There was like half of the Supercross West was at Anaheim. They were like, oh, we should change the name.
Yeah, so, well, that's good. So it's good. We're going to have a full week of racing.
A lot of racing.
And the pool is good. This is going to be devastating for us because we're going to lose 100 points.
Yeah, this is 100. If you're not in the pool, you're probably smarter than the rest of us.
Yeah, right.
But it's a 100-point weekend for the pool members, so keep that in mind. It's going to be a biggie.
Yeah.
And you learn nothing. Absolutely nothing.
It's just
going
to be best.
And not in MotoGP. And I'm not even sure you learned anything in Moto2, be honest with you, except that if you jump, you get penalized.
Right, yeah. Except for if your guy jumps, you don't get points.
Yeah, right.
And in World Superbike, you know, it's going to be Ray or Sykes. Who do you trust?
That's what it looks like. But I don't know. Davies, he's on a Ducati.
Well, Davies is complaining about the Ducati, about the unfair advantage that Kawasaki has over the Ducati and stuff. So,
You
know,
true.
He might be right on that. I don't know.
What's he saying is the unfair advantage?
That they're Kawasaki's, and he's on a Ducati.
Yeah. And in MotoGP, I think the problem is that as fast as Vinales has been on the Suzuki, he's going to be at a big disadvantage, actually, down at Cota because of the straightaways. That's the one weakness.
Yeah.
He can't keep up with
They're going to be at Argentina this week, so I don't know.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And if they have the big straightaways.
They're not in Cota for two weeks.
Okay. It's a week after Argentina, I believe.
Okay. All right. So, well, folks, that's all we'll have
too much racing next week.
Well, that's good.
Hardly any this week.
That's good. So Warren won't have to do much work.
No, I'll do one story and cut it over to Phil.
There you go.
That works for me.
All right, we'll see you next week, folks.